Good morning, church. I'll bring the house lights up for you. Happy Easter. Man, hold on. Clap yet. I know y'all are fired up and ready to go. But do you realize today we celebrate a day that changed eternity? There's no other day, no other day that will ever happen or has happened that changed eternity like 2,000 years ago today. Today, God proved once and for all that he is, in fact, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that he sent his son to die for us. And today, we celebrate that. And I don't know about you, but I think that's worth standing and applauding and cheering our King. Will you stand with me and let's cheer? Thank you, God. Come on now. If this were the Bulldogs, you'd be cheering louder. Thank you, God. We worship you this morning. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Now stay right where you are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this service this morning. I thank you for a house full of people who just love you. Father, we want to celebrate you. Father God, even those today that come to know you, that you demonstrate your goodness, you demonstrate your power to us, and we thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated now. See, if you come up here, it's a little warm, so I sweat, so you're welcome to sweat and work up one with me down there. On your way in, you should have received two pieces of paper. If you did not, will you shoot your hand in the air? One of our ushers will bring them to you. You should have received the message notes and what we call an Easter survey. We do an Easter survey because if you'll look around beside you, it's the one Sunday a year that everybody decides to come to church. So we get our best results if we do it on Easter. On that survey, it's just a form at the top, and you can be able to drop it in the offering at the end of the service in the buckets. And it's just, I'm curious. I just want to know what you need to know, what you feel like maybe you're lacking in some areas of your spiritual walk, some things you can learn. And you can do that right there on the top of that sheet. And then don't worry about the boxes at the bottom. I'll explain those to you guys in a little bit. But just make sure that you have them. You can fill those out as I speak if something comes to your mind. Well, we're in a series. We've led up to this to today, the Super Bowl for Christians, the national championship day for us. The reason we celebrate it, the reason we went to a lot of extra steps in our music and just to celebrate who God is. And we've walked through this series called Miracles. 2 weeks ago, simplicity. Sorry. The simplicity of following Jesus. The miracle of what God did is it's so simple. It's receive your Savior, confessing with your mouth, believe it in your heart that you can serve God, that you belong to him. Last week, we talked about the fact that God saved you, this miracle that God saved you so you could reach somebody else. You could then reach into somebody else's life. You can experience a miracle in your own life. We showed you a video a second ago of the lovely long locked hair Cam. And I brought it back. That was from 2013 because I told him I want people to see. I think Cam, if anything, is a perfect example, not just because he cut his hair, because I kind of like his long wavy locks. But as an example of a miracle in his life, that Cam at a low point just ran into a wall and had no other way to turn. And now for the last four or five years, he and Gentry have been our student ministry leaders, and they do a great job leading all of our college age and youth on every. Yeah, give him a hand. You can experience a miracle in your life, that a sinless God came to earth, lived a sinless life. He was brutally executed on a cross. Don't let anybody ever tell you that Hollywood, as gruesome as it was, I believe doesn't even do it justice. He came to earth. He lived this sinless life. He was executed, and then he was put in a borrowed grave, and then God raised him from the dead. And I want to read you this verse in Romans chapter 8. It's on your sheet, verse 11. And it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, and I want to focus on this last little line there, lives in you. Now we're getting to what I believe is what I call the miracle of heaven. I think it's the greatest miracle ever had, the greatest to be had, is that the Spirit of God lives in us. In other words, the same Spirit, the Bible says, that brought Jesus up from the grave. How many of you think that would be a pretty cool thing? I mean, I don't know about you, but I might just freak out if we go on and we're burying a relative, and then we come back the next day and there's a hole in the ground and Granny's gone. And then a couple days later, Granny comes walking in the back door. I don't know about y'all, but I consider that a miracle. And here Jesus, the Bible says, went to the very depths of hell and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, so we don't have to worry about it anymore, and came back and was resurrected by this same Spirit. The Bible says that this same Spirit lives in us. It is the miracle. You can have a miracle. You can have a resurrection in that area of your life that you're struggling with. You can have an area, a resurrection in the finances in your life, in your family. Anybody got any issues they need God to help them with? Really? I'm the only one today? Wow. We got some holy, righteous people here today. See, you can have, the Bible says, through this same Spirit, you can have this miracle in your life today. Look what I love in this next part of this scripture. Look, this is part B of Romans 8:11. Look what this says. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. See, it also brings health. In other words, God will do miracles here on the earth. God does. If you didn't know that, you're in a church that I believe that God is still alive. He's still doing miracles. He's still active. Some people teach and believe that the miracles quit when the apostles died. There's nothing even biblical about that. You can't find that in the Bible. I don't know about you, but in my own life, I can testify. I've had miracles. I've had things I can't explain by any other means other than a God who loves me and a Father who moved on my behalf. Amen. There are miracles today, and the Bible says that this same Spirit living in us, he will give us life in our mortal bodies. And here's what you need to know. Why does he give it to you? Why? And here's your first blank. Because Easter can be experienced, not just celebrated. Some of you are looking like, what's he doing? If you got a little sheet in your hand there, I like to give message notes. Let you write something down. You can save them for later. Maybe God speaks to you. They'll be on the screen behind me. See, Easter can be experienced, not just celebrated. Now, I'm all for celebrating. I think we've so far done a pretty good job. We celebrated a birthday. We celebrate today our risen King. But do you know that I think a lot of us as Christians, we stop here? You ever wonder why? Why we just celebrate? Maybe we never really experience it. We never really encounter a powerful God in a close way. We never really encounter Jesus in an intimate way. That we're not just celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago. That you can today, I believe, just like Cam did in the video, have a life-changing encounter with God and have a miracle in your life. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better way to celebrate Easter than to go home tonight and realize that God has done something miraculous in your life. An Easter you'll remember because you encountered a God and experienced it. We talked back last week about that God really does need you, that he reached out to you so he could reach someone through you. But you know, even in the Bible, we talk about the 12 disciples, but if you really look at the Bible says there was another group. He had his 12 closest disciples, but in order to spread his message, he actually talks about 72 that go out. And when the 72 people came back, they were just jacked up. They were excited. They were ready to go. And they came back to Jesus and said, listen, we encountered some crazy stuff, and we just mentioned your name, and crazy stuff started happening. People started getting healed, and people that were possessed with these weird demons were being delivered, and they were celebrating it. But look in Luke chapter 10, we'll start in verse 17. Look what Jesus says. The Bible says in 17 that 72 returned. They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us. Look at verse 18. Hey, it's weird. You ever talk to somebody and you tell them you're talking about cars and they respond, yeah, I was on an airplane once. Like, two things don't match. Jesus does something to these people and it kind of reads that way. So he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I personally, as one of the 72, would have thought, you're not listening to me. I know you're Jesus and you're God's son and all that stuff, but they were moving for me. I said something and somebody got healed. And Jesus said, yeah, I know. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I was like, Jesus, you're not getting it here. And goes on to verse 19. What Jesus was saying is, listen, I've seen it all. I've been there since the beginning. I was there with Daddy when the devil started acting up. I was there when he kicked him out. And I've seen it all. So Jesus replies, I'm giving you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. In other words, nothing can come against you. He's given us the ability to take authority over those things that come against us, over the devil that comes against us, over those bad reports you get from the doctor, over those challenges when when things crop up in your face and you're thinking, oh, it's going to get me again, to be able to say to it, no, because the Bible says in Jesus' name, you have to leave me alone. I'm not going to succumb to that. But he says, I've given you authority and nothing will harm you. You see, you can have that miracle resurrection in your life. You can see healings in your body. You can have resurrection in your finances. I distinctly remember getting out of my graduate school degree, and we moved here, and the bank, the school loan people, had some left. And so I remember when I moved here, I was making like $200 a week, and we were scratching nickels together just to live. And I remember that check coming in the mail, and the school loan people said, listen, we need to send you this refund. And we got like a $6,000 check in the mail. Well, anybody in your 20s would be excited if you got a $6,000 check? Yeah, we were, as far as I was concerned, we were multimillionaires. Trump had nothing on us. We were ready to go. See, that was a resurrection in our finances, and we actually lived off of that money for quite some time. I can't explain it. I don't know why we got it and how it worked, but we got it. So you can have a resurrection in your finances. You can see healing in your bodies. But if I'm honest, those aren't the biggest miracles. Because what Jesus was saying is, listen, I was there in the beginning. I've looked across time. And when I look across time, you need to understand in eternity what you're doing now on the earth, what we're here doing now. The Bible calls it a vapor, a wisp. It's just a flash and it's gone. The 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years that you're here on the earth, the Bible says that it's just here and gone. But what Jesus is saying is, listen, you need to understand this, that whether you believe it or not, everybody in the room is on a spiritual journey. Amen. Everybody. You can say, well, I'm an atheist pastor. I don't believe in God. More power to you. But you're still going somewhere. Amen. We are all going somewhere. The question is where? And Jesus is saying, listen, y'all are worried about taking care of this buff bod. And I'm getting my DVD. I pick on my wife because she exercises with a DVD. And she says, why don't you come do it with me? I said, honey, you're not going to get me in the room. And then they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'll just put it this way. I'm white. And I'll hurt myself. So she's not going to get me to do it. But we work on these bodies. We go to the doctor. I have a friend. I remember, I think maybe Cam knows him, that this guy works out. I mean, he is just ripped. And he has a huge beard. And one day they came in and he had shaved his beard off. And you would have thought the world had stopped. People just, you shaved your beard. See, we get caught up in all this earth face stuff. Or we show up in a new ride. I remember at the livestock parade, we did the egg drop in the parade. And before the parade, we were up in the little staging area. And Gentry Becton pulled up. With a friend of the family in this nice convertible Corvette. And everybody just stopped and was like, see, it's okay. And it's okay to like those stuff. But Jesus is saying, listen, y'all are worried about this, but it's but just a vapor of what we're doing here. Eternity is so much longer. Jesus said in verse 18, I've been there. I've seen it both. I've seen, Jesus can literally say now, I've seen heaven and hell, right? I've seen both sides. I've been to the depths of hell. And you guys are just focused on the wrong stuff. See, we still... Let's just go to verse 20 before I get going again. Look at verse 20. He says, listen. And this is what... He says, don't rejoice that those spirits submit to you. In other words, don't rejoice that when you say something in my name that they react. But you rejoice that your names are what? Written in heaven. And I think that is the miracle of heaven. That is the greatest miracle of all. That I can stand here today without any uncertainty at all, complete assurance that my name, Clint, is written in heaven. That God's got a book. And he's in the book. He wrote down Clint. And he wrote down Tyler. And he wrote down Mason. And he wrote down Megan, and he's just writing all our names down that I can get there. I think that is the miracle of heaven. That God wrote my name in his book. See, but we still experience grief. We have a time where we go through pain. The Bible never says life is going to be easy. But for us as Christians, death doesn't sting so bad. When you really understand what it is, when you really understand what it means to be saved, that what life is here is just the beginning. It's a very small part of eternity. That your name is written in heaven, and that's what you should be excited about. Amen. Let me give you one more example. In John chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also." Now, you would think the next verse would be something like, listen, it's okay. Because if you know the story, when Jesus says this, now the tables have turned. Now the disciples have come back, and now they're not pumped up about what they did. Now they're struggling because things aren't going the way they want them to. Now things in life aren't so good. Anybody ever had those times in life? Amen. Like life's just not good. Everything's horrible. Your refrigerator's broke. Your washing machine broke. Your weed eater broke. Somebody stole your lawnmower, your car. It's just everything at once. One of those days. And Jesus says, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. But look what he says in verse 2. He pulls a switcheroo on them. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? You see, what he does here is Jesus answers the earthly problem and shifts it to an eternal focus. He says, listen, I know it's rough. And think about who they're talking to. Jesus, who would go through something that no other human, I think, ever could have experienced in the way that he did. And he says to them, listen, I'm going somewhere to prepare a place for you. And here's why I believe we can celebrate. We don't just celebrate Easter, but we can experience it's your next blank. Is that's because Jesus offers more than a better now. He'll do a miracle on your life. He'll do a miracle and change something that you're facing or rescue you out of a bad situation or heal a relationship. He'll do that. But the truth of the matter is he has a better now, but he offers a better place. That what we're talking about in eternity is us having a piece of eternity. That you and I are, and I believe it's quite literal in this case, are going to have a pad in heaven. Jesus says, listen, I got to go and I got to go fix this. I honestly think that some of us are going to have neighbors that we don't like. Because we fussed about him here and God's, listen, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to put you beside that crazy guy or girl, and you're going to live in heaven next to him for eternity. The Bible says he's going to prepare a place for us. And look at this one. The Bible says that he encountered. We can just get away from the gender for a minute. He or she encounters God. Think about Cam. I go back to Cam in the video. He mentions and talks about that low day in his life where he encountered God. And what did God do? The Bible said, listen, your now needs some help. Your now needs a little fixing because it just ain't right. So he fixed his now, but then the Bible says he guaranteed him a place in heaven alongside of him of grace and mercy. He encountered hope, mercy, and grace, and it changed everything on how he lived his life. Look at one more, and probably what I think is the greatest Easter verse in the Bible. This is John chapter 11, verse 25. Now Jesus is talking to people, and he says, listen, he tells this woman, he says, listen, I am the resurrection. I didn't just be resurrected. I wasn't just resurrected. He says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. The one who believes in me. Listen to this. Don't you like this? This would be your great uplifting scripture for your Easter Sunday morning. The one who believes in me, guess what? You're going to die. Doesn't that just make you feel warm and fuzzy all inside? You come to church, guess what? You're going to die. But I'm pretty sure the odds of everybody in the room dying are probably pretty good. Probably 1 to 1. Because we're all going to die one day, right? And here Jesus says, listen, I'm the resurrection of life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. What? Jesus, come on now. Speak plainly. Look what he says in verse 26. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Well, wait a minute. You just said we were going to die. Now you're saying we're not going to die. You see, because we're focused on the now and Jesus is focused on the place. Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to this place of eternity with me and you're focused on the now. He says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you? And then I said this. Do you believe this? Cam said in the welcoming that we've been praying for you, and he's right. That my hope today, our prayer, if you're visiting today, is that you have a little piece of this. So that you can look at, there's a place in the Bible where it says, oh death, where is your sting? That you can look death in the face. You can look anything that comes at you and say, I'm not moved by that. Because I believe. And here Jesus asks this woman point blank, do you believe? Do you believe this? And really, that's what I want for you today. Do you believe this? Because there's no doubt in my mind that there's those people in the room, including me maybe right now, that you're kind of feeling the sting of something dying in your life. You're feeling the sting of a relationship that's gone south. You're feeling the sting of a financial hardship. You're feeling the sting of a bad doctor's report. You're feeling the sting of life just kind of, I don't know, I guess in South Georgia you just say it's all kind of going to the crapper. Anybody ever had one of those days? Come on, don't look at me like I'm religious. Y'all are kind of like, he said crap in church. Yes. When it's going there, what else are you going to do? But I'm convinced that today, if you could just grab a hold of this, do you believe, you can have a piece of this eternity. You can have the sheer death, the sting of death. But I think Jesus would say to us, listen, I know you're going through some stuff, and I do care. I still resurrect things in your life, the dead and dying places in your life, but that's still not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is I made eternity possible. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have what? Who have no hope. See, we ought to be different. When you understand that I have a Savior and you understand what Easter really is, you ought to be different. We look at death differently. We look at the attack of the enemy differently because we have hope. Look what the next verse says in 14. It says, we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again. Let's say that together. We believe that Jesus died and was, oh, come on now, wake up, people. You ought to believe this. Let's read this to me. We put it in yellow. Ready? We believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again. Because if you don't, we're wasting our time. If you simply just celebrate Easter, we're wasting our time. We celebrate Earth Day and all have a good time, but Earth didn't save me. Mother Earth ain't done a thing for me. Jesus, who created, God who created the earth, the Bible says, holds the earth in his hand. I believe that God sent his son and that he died on the cross and was resurrected again. He's alive again, and he stays alive today. And then Paul's writing to this church, and he look at verse 18, skip down. He says, listen, so do this. Encourage one another with these words. Encourage people with this thought that I've done a miracle in heaven and your eternity is secure for those who believe on you. That death, you don't look at the same way. Hope and eternity for us is in heaven. Truth and is hope. And anything else, eternity is hell. If you're hoping in anything else, your eternity is hell. This is the way it is. I don't apologize for it. The Bible says there's one way by which man can be saved. and it's not hugging a tree, I think we ought to be responsible and not pollute the earth and try to be good. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. It's not going to guarantee your eternity. Let me give you this, explain it to you this way and show it. It's on your sheet there. The greatest miracle of heaven should look this way, or is explained this way. Believe on Jesus, and earth is as close to hell as you'll ever get. Isn't that good? Believe on Jesus, earth is as close to hell, and you may actually feel like you're going through it, but it's not hell. It may not be fun, but it's not hell. And the truth of the matter is, it only gets better. That's an amen somewhere. You may feel like you're in hell now, but the truth of the matter is, this is as close as you'll get to hell for those who believe on Jesus. It only gets better. But the opposite also is true. Not believing on Jesus, earth is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. I heard somebody tell me the other day, we were talking about life and finances and wishing we could go, you know, buy some frivolous stuff in our lives. And they said, well, what about, you know, like Oprah Winfrey or all these Bill Gates and all these billionaires that have all this money? Put this in, this will put some things in perspective for you. And I don't know these particular people, but just any billionaire has got more money than he knows what to do with. Without Jesus, is high on the hog as he lives his life now, it's as close to heaven as he's ever going to get. And the truth of the matter is, it only gets worse from here. I don't care how much you're worth, what your net value is. You can't buy your way. You can't spend your way. There's only one way. And you need to know that. Today is your opportunity, I believe, to change your hope. To change your hope. Some of us, and even me, sometimes I struggle with this. Sometimes my hope is put in money, the things I can see, the things I can do for myself. And maybe today it's an opportunity for you to change your hope. You just need to know how you do it. So let me show you in this verse, and this will be our last verse of the day. In 1 John 5:13. It says, these things I have written unto you that you may also know that you have eternal life. Wouldn't it be great if you could just know? Well, I want to know. Y'all apparently don't. I want to know. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if when you got saved, like the next day in the mail, God sent you a little certificate? And you can just say, hey, I got saved today. I got a certificate. Where'd it come from? God sent it to me. No, that's not how it works. I wish it did, but it's not. To know that I have hope, that no matter what life throws at, no matter the junk that falls in your lap, you have hope. But look what the second part of the verse says. It says, even unto you that believe, and this is important, believe on the name of the Son of God. And I'm making that distinction. Some versions say in, but I think we can get backwards on this, because there are a lot of people who go to church. There are a lot of people who say, well, I'm a member here, I'm a member there, or I went to church with granddaddy when I was 10, that I believe in God. I just don't think that's enough. I think God wants so much more from us and for us. I think that's an easy way out, because the truth of the matter is the devil himself believes in God, because he has no other option. Because if he didn't believe in God, he'd still be in heaven. And the Bible says that God threw him out. So the devil believes in God. And I just think God wants so much more for us. I want to show you this picture. This is a man from the 1800s. His name is Charles Blondin. And I know y'all are thinking, where is he going? Showing us a guy from, this guy lived back in the late 1800s. And Charles Blondin did crazy stuff on tightropes. The brother went across, most of it was across the Niagara Falls. He went across the Niagara Falls. If you can Google him, type his, not right now, but when you get home, Google it. You can fact check me. The man walked across a tightrope on stilts across the Niagara Falls. Then if that wasn't enough, he went back and said, I can do better. The man goes and gets a potato sack and walks across the Niagara Falls in a potato sack. one day before he was always trying to up his game because that's how he made his living. Kind of like the guys, there's a guy that does this today. And so the reporters one day were interviewing the man before he got ready to go, and he asked them this question. He asked the reporters, how many of you guys believe in my ability? And they just watched him go across on stilts, go across blindfolded, go across in a potato sack and watching all of this. And said, how many believe in my abilities? The room went nuts. Yes, you're the greatest ever. Woo! Celebrating. He was the evil Knievel of his time. I believe in your abilities. And then he said, well, fine. Why don't you come jump on my back and let's go across? The room went silent. Everybody was like, yeah. Ooh. You go, brother. Have your way, man. You're awesome. You go right ahead. People started backing up to the back of the room. You see, they knew they believed in his abilities. But I'm going to tell you, real faith would be jumping on his back. Do you know a man did that? I'm going to tell you about God and about his son Jesus. Believing in him is not enough. But real faith, real hope, is laying your life down and say, God, I give it to you. If you want to go across the wire, then I'm going with you. That's real hope. That's real hope. Believing on him. The miracle of heaven is hope. I'm going to do something we do every year. When I started, I talked to you about that little sheet of paper. I'm going to ask everybody in the room, if you're visiting with us, just participate with us. Everybody in the room, grab that little sheet. If you did not get one, if you came in late, if you'll just shoot your hand up in the air, one of our ushers will bring you one. But I want everybody in the room to have one of these sheets. We call this our spiritual survey. And I'm going to explain to you what this is. You'll see on there box A. Box A is simply, Clint, I've already believed on Jesus. I'm saved. I know Jesus. I know God. I serve him. I've made that decision. Box B is, Clint, I think today's my day. I think I'm going to choose to believe in God, believe in his son Jesus, and receive him as my Savior. Today is my day. That's box B. Box C is, I need a little more time to consider it. I'm not saying no, but this whole Jesus thing, this music and that crazy guy jumping around on stage leading us in worship, all that stuff, I just need to consider this first. But don't get lost in the packaging. Concentrate on the gift of Jesus. So box C says, I need some more time. And that's fine. I love this church, and the thing I love most about this church is that it's a church for not church people. If I'm honest, I'm only wearing a tie today because my wife told me to. People who members here have been here for a while, only a couple times I wear a tie, and that's on Christmas, Easter, and if you're dead or getting married. I don't do ties. I don't even have it buttoned. I just have it undone. But I followed the instructions and I wore a tie. That's what I love about our church. It's just simple. You can come here and kick the tires as long as you want. If you're visiting with us today and you don't have a home church, come back. Stick around as long as you want. And then there's box D. And box D says, I don't ever intend on making that decision. And let me tell you something. Hear me and look at me. If that's you today, and you can be man or woman enough to mark that, that's fine with me. I'd rather you be honest and be honest about where you stand than be deceived and think you're standing somewhere you're not. But you need to know this. We've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now, and we get those ones that are marked D And just about every day until next Easter, you're going to get prayed over. And if you say, Clint, well, I won't be prayed over, my response is tough. We'll say, well, fine, I'm not going to mark D. Well, God still knows. We're still praying for you. A couple times in the last years, in the following years, when we go back and look at these things, we've seen some that were say, that were marked B and wrote a note down before. Last year, I was a D. Last year, I marked, I'll never make this decision. And now this year, or maybe in the process, they marked A. Somewhere last year, your prayers affected my life, and now I'm a child of God. So what I want to ask you to do is just take a few seconds as the band plays. Be honest. And then mark your box. And then when you've marked your box, if you'll just bow your head as we'll pray, and that just lets me know that you're done.